Hello, welcome to episode 8 from Stories from the VO Booth. Today we're talking with Alexis Fiador, creator of the Profit Canvas, an individual and entrepreneur who connects artists with business success. I'm so excited for you to hear from Alexis and how we as artists can build our business by looking at our revenue plan, looking at our marketing, things that I never thought of when I got into voiceovers. But before we get started, I want to invite you to take part in my free 5-day VO challenge, which is an interactive 5-day roadmap to VO success. To get started for free, simply visit tinazaremba.com/challenge. All right, here's the episode. So those of you that have worked with me have probably heard me say my biggest regret is that when I started in voiceovers, I wish someone would have told me this is a business and helped me understand what that truly means. I eventually found that person to help me understand what it means to have your own business and how to grow it quickly. And I'm honored to have her as my guest today. With that, I'd like to introduce you to Alexis Fiador.
Hi, Tina, and hello to everybody.
Thank you so much. So I know you as a friend, mentor, and founder of the Profit Canvas. I took your 14-day Art Biz Challenge, which was amazing, and I wanted to discuss that, but first, can you share a little bit about your journey and what exactly is the Profit Canvas and why you created the 14-day Art Biz Challenge?
Yeah, sure. So I myself am a performance artist. I was a dancer my whole life and then segued into acting after college. And I've always been a writer. And I always knew that my career was going to be in the arts. And when I was in undergrad, it hit me my sophomore year where I was in technique class for ballet, and my professor announced to our class for some reason, she said, you know, you're all going to be so happy for the rest of your lives as dancers. It's the best life to live, but you're going to be really broke, but you're going to be really happy.
Well, that's motivating.
And yeah, it was like, I was the only one who wasn't laughing though. Like everybody in the class was like, oh, that's so funny. You know, of course,
we're
starving artists. And my stomach got upset and I literally had to like, you know, pause and walk out of the room. And in that moment, I had this vision. First of all, I was going to prove her wrong because it was already wrong. That statement. I mean, it's a Jedi mind trick that artists fall for. I mean, I think there was a time where that could have been the case in some places, but right now in this day and age, it's just not the case. And I just envisioned myself going back there one day as a successful business owner and artist and talking to the other dancers, younger dancers about, you know, how to do that for themselves.
To my listeners, I talked about how I was going to be interviewing casting directors and producers and people related to voiceovers. The reason why I wanted to bring Alexis on is because I, in the beginning and for so long in my voiceover career, just wanted to do auditions, just give me my voiceover auditions. And like I said at the intro, my biggest regret is that someone, when I started in voiceovers, didn't say to me, this is a business, treat it like a business, and showed me how to. And so when I met you, that opened my eyes at really looking at what are the numbers? So, and what's going on financially in my business and how can I grow this? What do you see as the biggest strength and weakness with voiceover artists or artists, photographers, all different artists when it comes to their businesses?
There's three main problems. There's understanding who your ideal client is. It's huge because artists tend to think, like as a voiceover artist, I know that you and I have talked about this before, but in the beginning, don't you think like you could work for everybody and anybody?
Right.
And that's a normal way of thinking. But what we don't know, what we're not told about business is that the more narrow and niche you get, the better your chances you have of succeeding. Really, your offers are only meant for a certain group of people. And so getting in touch with what do you have? Like, what's your purpose? What's your why behind what you're doing? Because that's what people are resonating with.
Mm-hmm.
Will help you discover who actually resonates with you and you're in what you have to offer.
Yeah. You know, I tell students that I coach that if you kiss everyone goodnight, you kiss no one goodnight. And that to get as specific as you can in not only who you're talking to when you're delivering copy at an audition, but also when you're decide on a lane that you want to focus on. Do you want to focus on commercials? Do you want to focus on promos or narration? Because then you can build upon that and then maybe eventually move over to another lane. So what I like about what you're saying is getting specific in who your ideal client is going to help you all around grow your business.
Mm-hmm.
So what's one action that a voiceover artist or an artist can take to grow their business?
Really, I think what the best thing you can do as a voiceover artist is to set a revenue goal for yourself and work backwards to figure out how to reach it by connecting with your ideal clients in the market. So you tell me how that works for you, Tina, and or what the adjustments were you had to make.
Well, this was, you know, something I worked on with you. And it, I remember saying to you, well, I don't know what the numbers will be. It, you know, I have a rough idea. And I remember you saying to me, that's okay. Like, just start it. And you know, Alexis, by just doing that exercise, I have this notebook in front of me. I did take the profit canvas as well, by the way. I need to insert that. I have the notebook here to prove it. I'm looking at it going, man, I did a lot of work. When I sat down and I wrote down who my ideal client is, the types, a revenue goal I had for myself. And I put that number down and then I put down the different ways that I could bring that in. You know what's interestingly started happening is jobs started coming in more easily. And I, not to get too woo-woo, but I do believe that actually making that statement pen to paper as to this is what the, and I didn't hit that number right away, I'll be truthful, but it was a target and it kept me focused.
Yeah.
So I do see the value in that.
Yes. I think that it's super important. There's a reason for that too, because our brains, the way that our brains are wired to get excited about small wins. And when we experience small wins, it's proven that this chemical is released that allows us to, we feel more open and we come up with better ideas. So actually what's happening is when we have the, we get a small win, like, you know, you're a smaller voiceover job comes in and you can see that it's like it's keeping you on track to your goal. And then, so it's exciting on, even on the smallest level. And then you feel excited and you feel hopeful. And so your brain opens up and says, well, how can I get the next one? And better ideas start to come and then better connections start to be made So it's kind of this amazing snowball effect.
How would you advise someone if they start to feel overwhelmed in doing this or starting to, you know, get the gremlins in their mind of, all right, there's no way you're going to get that number?
There's a really specific way to begin, which is looking at your exact circumstances and figuring out how much you actually need to make. So it's, you look at, on the personal side, how much do you need to make, like as a baseline to cover your food, shelter, and bills. And then for your business, how much do you need to make baseline to cover your studio space, supplies, and bills? And studio space means like if you work from home, if you rent a studio, anything, any of the above. And of course,
any marketing that you do for your business, yep. Mailings, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. How much do you need to make? And you figure that out exactly by going back ideally 12 months into your bank statements and literally adding up how much you spent on food, shelter, and bills for personal life, and then studio space, supplies, and bills for your business. Get an average, get a 12-month average. And that's just your baseline though. And this is the shocking part because a lot of times artists especially will find out, and this is not uncommon, It happens to all of us. You get that baseline and you realize, wow, I'm making less than that. And so the goal then is you've got to be making, you know, you have to reach that baseline at least, because what you want to do then is add it a cushion to it, at least 25%, in some cases much more, depending on what you need. And when you can, that's the long and the short of it. For the next 12 months, that's your goal. That new number.
As I was saying, you talk a lot in your courses and your podcasts and community about creating the space you need to only focus on the high priority activities that will move your business forward. How can someone discern what's the most important task when everything feels so urgent and important when you have your own business?
Quickly about the difference between urgent and important and not urgent and important. So like the biggest mistake that a person can make is thinking that anything that feels urgent is the most important thing to be focusing on. In your business, the not urgent tasks are actually where you want to spend 80% plus or more of your time. And anything that's urgent, you want to get off your plate as quickly as possible because it's a time suck. So let's talk about like what could be urgent. Answering emails, something that comes up last minute that you have to take care of, any fire you have to put out that has been a result of, you know, not taking care of something or something that is out of your control. Anything along those lines is urgent. Whereas the not urgent tasks are things like setting your 12-month goal, mapping out a plan and as to how you're going to reach it, figuring out what your highest priority activities are. No one is ever going to light a fire under you to do that. And so you could put those off till the cows come home. And going over to the urgent things is a nice, convenient way to just put the non-urgent tasks off so you don't have to do them because they do require your own motivation to get them done.
So this podcast is most likely going to air in the beginning of the new year. And folks are going to be like, oh, you know, here's my 12-month goal and really stoked for that. How would you tell them to create short wins though, so that they don't fall off by, you know, January 21st or whatever it is that people fall off, you know, their goals?
So the first thing to keep in mind is that the brain cannot actually stay motivated or excited about something past 3 months. So if you're not breaking your goal down, so if you have a New Year's resolution, for example, and you know, like by the end of next year, you want to reach this, you know, you want to keep on going. Most people drop off right around March because there are not those short-term goals set to keep you motivated and inspired to keep going. So it works the same with your business. So if you look at what your 12-month revenue goal is, and then you make a list of the things, the projects and the priorities that you have to get done in order to almost guarantee you're going to reach it, those become your top 10 projects for the year. Then you want to break those down and you want to say, break those down into tasks and say, what are the first steps I need to take to begin these projects, to begin completing them? And then that's what, that becomes your first, you know, 3 month set of goals.
Thank you, Alexis. This is, gosh, I'm excited for the new year and setting my goals and my short wins and my quarterly goals. I totally dig this, you know, having little sprints to keep yourself going, if you will. How can people stay in touch with you and learn more about your amazing, amazing programs that you have?
Yeah, well, you can go to alexisfedor.com and take the Art Biz Quiz, which will help you distinguish what your single greatest challenge is in your art right now, and then get some curated content and then that addresses that. And then you can join my private Facebook group called Artists in Business. That's where I keep in touch with everybody the most. You'll hear about upcoming offers.
And I'll get those links so that people can click on and check all that out.
Stay tuned next week for episode 9, where I'm talking with my Minneapolis agent, Amy Oppegard from Wayman Talent. And a reminder, you're invited to take part in my free 5-day challenge. Go to tinasremba.com/challenge to learn more and sign up. Until next time, here's to owning our voices.